This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
How and why are you drunk at 6 o'clock?
Well, the how's pretty self-explanatory, and the why is because I thought we were leaving at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Ergo, Latin, plenty of time to sleep it off.
The hottest spot north of Milwaukee. Sook and Rob's passion are always the fashion. They fell in love.
Oh my god.
Okay, we start tonight's club
Hundo P
with the Jeffrey Toobin story.
Yeah, I used to call this getting Reinhold.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, when you got caught, I always called it growing up. I called it getting Reinhold because that was from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, the Phoebe Cates scene. That's Judge Reinhold.
Doesn't anybody knock?
Yeah, doesn't anyone effing knock anymore?
Oh, I was thinking like Reinhold got caught pulling his putt or something.
No. You've seen Fast Times at Ridgemont High, right?
Yeah, it's been years.
Well, that's the scene where Phoebe Cates dives into the pool, which might be the greatest up top scene in the history of movies. And he gets caught, pulling the electorate, so to speak. She walks in on him, and so if you ever got caught, you got Reinhold. I kind of feel like it's getting tubed now. You got tubed. It happened.
I found an article. I just got sidetracked. I will put a pin in this.
Okay.
And bring it back later. But Judge Reinhold, I Googled him because I was like, man, I haven't seen that guy for years.
It's been a while.
This is what I do while you're talking. So then I Googled him, and I found an article on why Hollywood doesn't cast Judge Reinhold anymore.
Uh-oh.
And there are several reasons on here, and I need to go through it. But he looks so old now. He's bald.
Is it because he's a close talker?
He is 63.
Is he 63? Yeah, I just haven't seen him in a long time. It's jarring to see him now. Bald Judge Reinhold.
He did get arrested at the Dallas airport.
Yeah, he did. Disorderly conduct or something. Wasn't he drunk? I knew something happened with him.
He had a confrontation with security agents at the Dallas airport.
Anyway, we'll get back to that. Jeffrey Toobin is the CNN analyst guy who writes for The New Yorker.
Yeah.
He's always on CNN. Like, they use him all the time. And he pulled out his ween during a Zoom work meeting. And now it has come out that he was allegedly,
He didn't just pull it out to admire it. He was pulling it out multiple times.
He was caught.
Yes.
He's hurting in the call.
Well, I think it was something about like the Zoom call was about the election. And yeah. I believe he was pulling the electorate. That's what he was doing.
He says, I made an embarrassingly stupid mistake believing the camera was off. I believed I was not visible on Zoom. I thought no one on the Zoom call could see me. I thought I had muted the Zoom video. I apologize to my wife, family, friends, and
Can I ask the question?
No.
You're on there with the teleconference going on. I get that you think it's muted and that no one can see you.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you taking a lap around the pool? Like, what?
Maybe there was a hot on one of the screens.
And this person is
you know,
they are on television frequently. And in this business, you know, you always treat a mic like it's a hot mic. Always treat a camera like it's a hot camera.
Boy, I never do that.
No?
No. I never did that on NBC Sports, and I never do that in radio. And I'm probably going to get fired because something will come up. But
you're just waiting for it?
I just never, I don't know.
Look, I'm all for taking some risks. I think it was Joe Rogan said that if you hadn't been caught, you need to throw some whimsy into your masturbation game. You got to take more chances. I get it. Spice up your life a little bit. But I do not understand in these sorts of situations, what goes through your mind when you decide then and there? Like, what about that situation? Are you like, you know what? This Zoom call, I'm just going to whip it out and go for it. Do you have like, you got like Pornhub up on a separate screen? Like, what is happening there that you can't control yourself?
Well, I think two things. One, like I said, maybe there was a hot on one of the boxes. Yeah.
That's all it took?
Well, yeah, he may have been bored. Those things are boring.
Yeah, I guess.
Anyway, it's funny to me that he says he didn't know the camera was on, as if it's okay to pull your putt on a work Zoom call if the camera is off.
Yeah, that's my point. It's not okay either way. Just don't. Wait till it's done. Go up into the rumpus room and, you know, rump.
So the 2020 version of, well, you know, the good housekeeping. It was just laying there.
Exactly. That is an excellent Seinfeld reference.
Okay, man. So here's what happened. So two people on the video call told Vice the virtual gathering was part of an election simulation last week that included New Yorker notables such as Jane Mayer, Evan Osnos, Masha Jessen, and Jelani Cobb, as well as producers from the magazine and WNYC Public Radio. Okay, that's who's all on the call. The two sources said that at one point it looked as if Tubin was taking another call and lowered his camera, and that's when they saw him getting to work on himself. It was unclear what, if anything, others on the virtual call saw. During the simulation, Osnos had been playing the role of Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden. Gessen was President Trump. Mayer represented establishment Republicans, and Cobb stood in for the Democrats, the sources told Vice. Tubin was supposed to be playing the part of the courts, while Andrew Marantz represented the far right, Sue Halpern was the left, and Dexter Filkins stood in for the military. Okay, all these people you don't know, but they're high up in
He is doing debate prep. He's playing a role, and he's just going to go ahead and just take it out.
At one point, there was a break for those playing Democrats and Republicans to strategize together, and that's when sources told Vice they saw Tubin pleasuring himself. He then left the Zoom chat for a few moments and called back in, apparently unaware that his camera had been kept on for at least part of the act. A spokeswoman from The New Yorker said, "Jeffrey Tubin has been suspended while we investigate the matter."
I don't even... Like, if you are on the Zoom call and you see that, what do you do? You just pretend, you just look away, you put up a post-it note, or do you do a, "Hey, Jeffrey"?
Boy, I don't...
I can see you.
I think I'm just...
You just...
Paralyzed.
I saw what looked to be a screenshot of some reactions from it, and the reactions were varied.
Well, that wasn't it, though.
That wasn't it?
People were... Okay. No. That was...
Did I get fooled?
Well, that wasn't the actual screen grab of the moment.
Gotcha.
People were... The internet took screen grab of people being stunned by something and placed it in place of... In other words, that wasn't the... As far as I know, there is no actual screen grab of the reactions of the other people. But...
I'm just trying to put myself in that situation, and I'm not 100% certain of what I would do.
So he's a senior legal analyst for CNN, and they said that the network said Jeffrey Tubin has asked for some time off while he deals with a personal issue, which we have granted.
I guess that's, I'd like to take a personal leave of absence. Something tells me you were about to take that absence whether you wanted it or not.
Well, this raises a key question to me, another question. And that is, how many people go wean out on business calls? Because I feel like this is a high profile guy with a lot to lose.
Yeah.
And he's doing this on a pretty big call, you know. How many people are doing this on their stupid Wednesday sales calls.
Now that is...
You know what I mean? Is this common?
I think it's common. I really do.
Oh, dear.
I think this is more common. This is like if when the person gets caught cheating and, you know, they're like, oh, it was my first time. No, it wasn't. It wasn't your first time. And we talked about this once.
Bill Clinton must be so proud.
Bill's like, I do this
He's
every
like,
day.
All right.
I did not have sexual relations. We talked about this once, but there is a huge number of people that do this at work, which I don't
really.
Yeah, I'm gonna find that. We've talked about this.
So these people are just so horny they just can't. It doesn't matter what they're doing.
Is it horny or is it boredom?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both.
Here you go. Take a percentage. So they did. This comes to us from this is Vogue.
Oh yeah,
Vogue.
I trust Vogue.
Vogue. So
what did they say?
They're citing a survey of the United States and the UK, wide-ranging survey.
Mm-hmm.
Would you care to guess how many people take it out at work?
Take it out, meaning?
They masturbate at work.
What percentage of people?
Percentage of workers.
Have said they have one time?
I'm looking here.
Or regularly, like, I mean, I need some parameters here.
I'm surveying here to see. It doesn't say, I guess it just says have. I guess that just have.
Have so, before.
Yeah, this study, this one's from the University of Michigan. Yeah, there's a bunch of different studies, so I don't know what each parameter is, but they do come up with a percentage of employees here and across the pond. By the way, we're filthier than those of us across the pond.
I would say let's go 43%.
39%.
Okay.
39% of people have taken care of business solo style while at work. That number to me is amazingly high. Amazing. You're just sitting around at work. You got, I guess they did this, the Wolf of Wall Street. They talk about this, but you're just sitting around at work and you're like, you know what? What the hell? I'm just going to head on into the bathroom and just go at it.
Really weird. Well, to me.
I was reading through and they're saying that, you know what? And this number, by the way, is rising each year. And you know why it's rising?
Boredom.
What's in your hand?
Well, I was drinking a glass of water.
Cell phone.
Oh.
Cell phone.
What does that have to do with anything?
Because you can go in the bathroom and...
And see things that
yep.
let you
yep.
get your mind going?
Says that people are... Several studies have shown that people don't even necessarily head to the bathroom in order for this. They go to the bathroom and begin scrolling on the phone.
Ah, and then they're like, you know what? I might want to...
Well.
I might want to just...
One thing leads to another, and there we go.
That door's locked, right?
Yep.
O.J. Simpson, you know, Tubin wrote a book outing O.J. Simpson as, you know, like a murderer and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, real quick, they're saying, the University of Michigan is saying, this is not necessarily a bad thing. It says that masturbation releases endorphins, it reduces stress, it can make you more productive, and can boost women's self-esteem.
What?
Wait, women?
So, yeah, not men, but it can boost women's self-esteem.
How many women do this?
What? So 39% total women are at, looks like, 18 to 21%.
Boy, that number's high too.
Men, obviously, a little bit higher than that.
Well, yeah, but
over half of men.
Still, I would have thought the women's number would have been a little lower.
No,
than that.
So they are saying that you know, if you are doing that at work, there may be some benefits to it.
Okay, well, I mean, look, it's not an act that is that should be frowned upon. It's just that there are appropriate times and places. Work, probably not one of them, but
apparently,
what do I know?
Apparently work is.
So the juice is flabbergasted. Even the juice is flabbergasted at Tubin's audacity.
You've done something when you pissed off the juice.
Yeah, because he lops heads off and stuff.
Damn, Jeffrey Tubin. At least Pee Wee Herman was in an X-rated movie theater. I'm just saying.
Oh, the juice.
Really?
Theater.
He's now comparing him. Now, I think what Tubin did is not as bad as Pee-wee. Tubin thought he was on his own. Pee-wee, a.k.a. Paul Rubin, he went out in public and did that.
Wasn't he doing that?
In a place where lots of other people go and do the same thing.
I know, it was ridiculous.
Oh, was he in a regular theater? Or was
no,
he was in a porn?
He was in a porn theater, which, by the way, is entrapment. We're really arresting people for going to a porno theater and kicking it around? What the hell? Hey, we're going to go to this crack den, but you can't do any crack. What?
So wait, you're just supposed to be able to, you know.
I guess.
Inside those places?
Well, what else is there? Like, why would you go to one of those places? By the way, I didn't even know those places still existed. Like, there's porno theaters?
I don't know, man. That's out of my realm.
It's out of my realm as well, but, or is it? I don't know. I just would assume that if you go to a porno theater...
You're doing a good job of playing dumb, though.
Isn't there an expectation? That's why I said, if you go to a crack house... Hey, Rob, you want to go to a crack house? What do you think we're going to do at the crack house? We're probably going to smoke a little crack. When we go to a porno theater, there should be an expectation. Now, on the Zoom call, while you are prepping for a presidential debate, no. You shouldn't be pulling a Reinhold. You shouldn't be taking that out.
Do you think Tubin gets his job back?
That's tough.
I bet he does.
That's tough.
This will blow over. Look, there's so many people that have done so many awful things that I think we now view this differently. Like, yeah. We view this like,
again,
I mean, look at POTUS.
We're throwing a flag, but
yes.
It's going to be a 5-yarder.
I think it's 10.
A legal procedure, you're fine.
Yeah.
Holding, maybe a face mask.
Although, somebody on the other end of the call could certainly get him fired.
Yes.
It depends on how they
yeah.
feel about it.
Well, what kind of guy is he? Is he respected, yeah. or is there someone that doesn't like this a-hole, especially if you're a woman, and be like, nope.
But you know, it was a mistake. it was a mistake. Right?
Bad mistake.
Like, he wasn't trying to do it in front of them all.
No, he wasn't.
Or was he?
But maybe that's his thing. It's like, whoops.
Hey, guys, check this out.
When you pull the Ted Kennedy and you walk out of the bathroom naked, oh, I didn't know you were here. I think that was a Harvey Weinstein move as well. Oh, I thought you had left. Sorry, I'm naked.
Well,
by the
since we're here.
What do you think?
Okay. My butt just farted next on the fan.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
Sitting on a cloud of judgment, handing down life lessons to all the sinners.
On 1080, The Fan.
Double Sun Power!
Ooh, I have a Tubin follow-up.
He's up for round two, is he?
Yeah, I didn't know this, but somebody said, hey, look into his past. So I did. Quick Google search.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey Tubin. Apparently, he offered Casey Greenfield money for an abortion.
Oh.
So Greenfield is a very pretty, ginger-haired, Yale-educated lawyer and writer who, this was like 10 years ago, but she gave birth in 2010 to a love child.
Ooh. So basically he, this guy gets around.
The baby's father was married CNN star and best-selling New York writer Jeffrey Tubin.
Well, look, does this come as a surprise to anybody? A high-level guy who's not that good-looking but's got some money and authority is out there, right? I mean, for heaven's sakes.
Greenfield, at the time, was 36 when she had the baby. She was in her 20s when she fell for Tubin. Now 49, even though... Tubin, 49. This is when Tubin was 49. Even though he was wed to Amy McIntosh, the Harvard sweetheart he'd married in 1986.
Yeah, I'm looking at his wife here, too. And, like, I'm always amazed in these sorts of political scandals or with these high-profile guys. The wife almost always sticks around. She just has to know that he's just a dirtbag, right? And it's just, like, some sort of arranged thing. It's like, fine, be a dirtbag. I don't care.
In 2008, Greenfield became pregnant. And when she told Tubin the news, he offered her money if she'd have an abortion. He also allegedly offered to pay for her to have another child later via a sperm donor.
What?
When she would not have an abortion, Jeffrey told her she was going to regret it, that she shouldn't expect any help from him.
Well, maybe this dumbass should get Me Too then. Go away.
Jesus.
Yeah, I'll just look. We just say this. People are just bad. If 2020 has taught me anything, it's that you have any faith in humanity, you're fooling yourself. The world's just full of awful, awful people.
Pretty sketch.
Yeah, 100%.
Old tubes. For our next story, Jason.
Just something more upbeat.
Well, not really.
Or downbeat is the case, or up and downbeat. I don't know.
Now, a lot of people sent this to us. This was forwarded to us multiple times because when anyone reads the headline, "My butt just farted," they think of us.
There is something to that, like when people send us stories, and it's usually, "Hey, I saw this," and the very first thing.
Yeah, it's always very flattering.
I thought of was you guys, and I'm like, oh, that's... it's just heartwarming. Thank you.
There's not a lot we can sink our teeth into here, but I did want to present this story anyway because it really is right up our alley.
Okay. My
last
butt
week,
just farted.
Police in St. Petersburg, Florida were arresting a woman for trespassing in a gas station and repeatedly kept asking for her name. The woman would just not comply. And for as many times as police would ask her name, she would tell them it was, "My butt just farted." That was her name.
That's what she's going with?
That is what she's going with.
My butt just farted. Well, is there more or just that's all it is?
Unfortunately for Mrs. My Butt Just Farted, she had her last name tattooed on her back.
Mm.
So it wasn't long before police found out she was really 33-year-old Melinda Lynn Guerrero. Police believe she may have been under the influence of drugs and or alcohol during the incident.
What?
She was arrested.
Oh.
And faces charges of trespassing and providing a false name to law enforcement.
I can't believe that. By the way, Bellinger just went yard again.
Ooh, two-run shot.
2-0 Dodgers.
2-0. Look at that.
Apparently that separated shoulder is doing just fine. Let's see when he rounds the bases. He said he's going to use the other arm. Don't get hurt again on the celebration and keep him away from Kiki Hernandez.
So anyway, that's the My Butt Just Farted story.
Yeah, if you are going to commit a crime, that whole tattoo on the... yeah, they're going with, by the way, a foot tap now.
That's good.
There will be no more shoulder bumps. They're going with the kid and play foot tap. That reminds me of the dumbass who was trying to light the federal building on fire. He was throwing the Molotov cocktails, and then he went back into the building with security cameras with no shirt on. He was wearing a mask, but he had his name tattooed, his last name, in giant letters across his shoulders.
No way.
Yes. By the way, that guy is getting charged. Like, he could face like 20 years in prison.
Good.
Yeah. So again, if you are going to commit a federal crime, maybe, just maybe, not have your name tattooed on your back and then take your shirt off. Like, at no point that crossed your mind, because you thought about putting on a mask. You're like, hey, I don't want to get caught here. Let me put on this mask real quick. But I don't want to wear my shirt because I'm out here, you know, I'm into the anarchy. And, you know, if I'm into the anarchy, I got to have this shirt off, show off this hot bod I got, this meth bod. Oh, crap. I got my name tattooed on my back.
Yeah. Well, you can't fix stupid.
No. No, you can't.
You know?
Well, and
famous saying.
And meth is a hell of a thing.
It is.
My butt just farted.
Let's get back to Judge Reinhold. Do you want to talk about Judge Reinhold?
Yeah, were you busy doing your three-part investigation into what happened to Judge Reinhold?
Well, when's the last time you saw anything?
No idea.
From Judge Reinhold?
Probably Seinfeld when he was the close talker. And that had to be in the late 90s.
And that question now fascinates me. Like, wait, why?
Well, I'm often confused about, because Reinhold was a decent star. Like, he was,
yeah, he was.
He was in a bunch of stuff.
He was.
From a young age. He was a child actor. All the way through high school and teens, and then he was even in stuff. He was even stuff into his 30s, and then he vanished. It's like Steve Guttenberg, right? Like, there's guys that are like decent stars, and that are in movies, and they're in successful movies, and then just they just vanish. Like, who was the guy from American Pie that was a Stifler?
I don't know his name.
Sean William Scott.
And is he gone now?
Yeah, he was in the American Pie movies. He was in the Dukes of Hazzard remake. He was in Role Models.
I think Walking Tall with The Rock.
Yeah, he was in a bunch of stuff. And was like a, you know, was a decent dude. Where's My Car? Like, those were all fairly successful movies. And he was kind of like a young Hollywood. He was a good looking guy. He was in a bunch of stuff. And then you just vanish. You just absolutely disappear.
Well, he probably gets tired of getting called Stifler.
Well, I just don't know what happens. Like, why are you cast for like 5 years and then all of a sudden no one casts you anymore?
Yeah, maybe he's typecast.
I always like to think that there's some sort of weird Hollywood, like the whole sex cult thing. Like, you turn down the wrong Weinstein or something, or you cross the wrong guy and they're like, nope, we're not making you a star anymore. Because there seems to be no reason for it.
So I have already, would you believe this, Jason?
Yeah.
I have already scanned my database, and I have an answer for you about
Judge Reinhold?
Sean William Scott.
Oh, okay. Because I liked Sean William Scott. I thought he was funny.
I've already done the research. And it says, the reason he's not landing as many roles as he once did is because he's defined by that one role he played, the attractive, boisterous, sex-oriented, popular high school guy who loves being the center of attention. He's no longer in his 20s, therefore can't really pull off that act unless it's some kind of 10 years later guff, which has already been done by American Pie.
Mm. So there just isn't any roles for him, huh?
Typecast.
Like, he was in Mr. Woodcock with Billy Bob Thornton.
That was actually pretty good.
I liked Mr. Woodcock. I thought it was great. I thought it was great. Like, he's just, I thought he was a funny guy. But he hasn't, he hasn't been in, like, a real movie in I don't know how long. I think the last thing I saw from him was he was a Country Mac and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
He did too good of a job being Stifler.
Boy, that sucks, man. Like, think about that. You do a good job. A movie ends up being iconic. Everyone loves you for it, and now you can't get another job. Like, his last real role, I think, was Role Models, and that was like in 2008. He really hadn't done anything worthwhile since.
Well, let's find out what happened to Judge Reinhold. We'll do it together next. Here's Rust.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Sue.
I'm gonna kick some butt in the traffic, the roads, road. I'm gonna kick some ass with a rise. I'm gonna kick a little ass. Rock, slide, and eagle.
On 1080, The Fan.
Double sun power!
And now the moment you've all been waiting for. We finally find out why Judge Reinhold has been nowhere to be found.
Now that we've solved the Sean William Scott mystery, the hell's happening with Judge Reinhold?
Apparently it's complicated with Judge Reinhold, but he did have the arrest. He was at LAX, and he got arrested for disorderly conduct. I guess he got into a fight with the TSA agent. He didn't want to be patted down, and then he wouldn't let him look through his backpack.
I hope that at some point he yelled, "Do you know who the hell I am?"
He said he
Judge Effin Reinhold.
He said he was embarrassed by it, but he blamed it on an adverse reaction to prescription medication.
Ah, yes. Is that prescription medication malt liquor?
And he spent 10 hours in jail, but the charges ended up being dropped. So he did have that.
Called the attorney. They're like, look, he's been embarrassed enough. Please just send him about his business.
Now, this is also saying he is also typecast. He can't really get past his role in Beverly Hills Cop.
Ah.
And Beverly Hills Cop 4 keeps getting delayed.
He's just waiting on that. He's like, please, for the love of God, Eddie, I need that.
Well, he's also forever associated with, as you mentioned, Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah.
So he has a hard time getting past those. He's also got a bit of trouble because people, you know, younger people don't know who he is.
Yeah.
You know, and he was the everyman to us. Like, Judge Reinhold was just the every guy.
Yeah, he was in a ton of stuff. Beverly Hills Cop, Santa Claus, Fast Times. I mean, he was in a bunch of movies.
Yeah, but... you know, when he's in Dr. Doolittle, Million Dollar Mutts, doesn't exactly raise your profile.
And his title there is network executive. He doesn't even have a name behind it. You know, he's making his hay on these Santa Claus movies. He's been in like five of those. So that's my question. Like, so if you're Judge Reinhold, right? I looked up his net worth. It says it's like $5 million.
Okay.
So yeah, he's doing okay.
63.
Yeah, he's doing okay. You know, but I'm sure. I don't necessarily think he's struggling to keep the lights on, but I don't think he's living a lavish lifestyle. Would you want that life? Like, at one point, you were a pretty good Hollywood star, and now you're scraping by trying to keep the lights on, waiting for Beverly Hills Cop 4 and the Santa Claus Part 9.
I will take $5 million at 63.
Yeah?
I'll take that.
And everywhere you go, people are like,
yeah,
are you
a little bit of fame?
Judge Reinhold? Why are you flying coach? Why are you flying Southwest?
Because I'm Judge Reinhold. You just got to own it. You got to lean into it, you know?
Yeah, I think that's hard. I think that's hard for a lot of people. When you think at one point you were probably a pretty good star, and then you're just like an average schnook. And can you at that point go back and get like a regular job? Can you be like a, you're just like a salesman, and you like you're selling someone copiers, and they're like, wait a minute, are you
Judge Reinhold?
You're like, well, yeah. Just,
I don't think you can do that.
Right? Like you hear that with like child actors all the time. They freak out because everyone knows who they are, but they're just trying to work a regular like. You know, you're trying to work a regular 9-to-5, trying to make a living, but no one will let you because it's just like, hey, I remember you from that one thing.
Now, they're saying that there was a... Okay, so Judd Apatow, he's buddies with Judd Apatow, I guess.
Yeah.
And before Judd Apatow was, you know, the Judd Apatow we know now, he's like basically runs Hollywood. He had a bunch of failed stuff, like in the early 2000s. One of them was a pilot called North Hollywood. And it was about struggling actors. And Judge Reinhold played a role in it. And it was, he played himself as a washed up version of Judge Reinhold.
Huh.
So it was not picked up by ABC when it was made. And the cast, I mean, the cast was amazing. He had Amy Poehler in it, Jason Segel, Seth Rogen, Amy Schumer, and Kevin Hart.
It's a great cast.
And Judge Reinhold. So it could have been a comeback for Judge Reinhold, but it never got off the ground.
Huh. Yeah, someone bringing up like Cuba Gooding Jr. Exactly, like he can't work. And I guess he is actually struggling. And that guy won an Oscar. Like a lot of these...
What's his deal? Isn't he a little off the deep end?
I think so, but I don't know if that's why. But like no one will hire him. Like he can't get work. And like there's guys like this. And
why,
gals,
just because of Show Me the Money?
I don't know. Like that was the last thing he did. He won an Oscar for it. And it was like, this was supposed to be like the launch of your career. Had done a damn thing since. He's making like Snow Dogs for Disney. Like he can't get work. And I like a lot of the, I remember who was the Desperate Housewives girls, Terry Hatcher, right?
Love Terry Hatcher.
Terry Hatcher was, I saw an interview with
Lois.
Her. Yeah. Cause she was on Lois and was like kind of a big deal and made some movies and they didn't really go anywhere. She said that before she got Desperate Housewives, she was losing her home. She said she had like $5,000 to her name and she didn't know what to do because anytime she would try to get regular work, no one would hire her. They're like, what? You're Terry Hatcher? Like, she was applying for, like, regular jobs. She said Desperate Housewives absolutely saved her life. Said that she didn't know where to turn.
Tell me, the Tango and Cash money wasn't big?
No, it was not.
That surprised me about her, because she's a hot.
Yeah.
She's a good actress.
But that's the problem.
What's not to love?
They're real, and they're spectacular.
But I think this is, again, kind of with the Sean William Scott thing. Imagine getting your break. Like, speaking of American Pie, Sean William Scott, the gal, Shannon Elizabeth, right? She was in American Pie, got topless, and was, like, all the rage for, like, 2 years. And then all of a sudden, you're 28, you're not 22, and people are like, yeah, I'm not really interested in casting you. And she's like, well, I don't want to take up my top anymore. And they're like, well, then we're not going to hire you. And now you're what? You're nothing.
Was she a good
actress?
She
got in a few Kevin Smith movies.
Yeah. I don't think of her as like a good actress, big star type.
Yeah.
I just think of her as like a random hot.
Yeah. But for a little bit, you know, she was a...
Was she?
She was a big deal.
I don't think of her as that. But.
After American Pie, she was a big deal and really hasn't done much since.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, man, that celebrity thing isn't always, it's not always as it's cracked up to be. That's a tough life when you're heading in one way and then all of a sudden it takes a hard left.
Yeah, we could probably sit here all night and start naming people that, like, hey, what happened to that guy? Yeah. What happened to her?
Well, and there's got to be an embarrassment factor to it, right? Just everywhere you go, you know, it's like, oh.
I don't know. I think you probably just hold on. It's like, yeah, I did some good stuff. Mm. I was pretty famous, you know, not anymore, but, you know. That was pretty good.
Have you seen that movie? Did you ever see The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke?
Yes.
Great movie. And that's his thing, right? He was a huge wrestler in the 80s, and now he's working at a deli. And the one dude, like, he's just trying to work at the deli, and the guy keeps coming up to him and is like, I know you. Oh, my God, it's like, oh, you're Hulk Hogan. You're, like, this big wrestler guy, and he loses it.
Not everybody can be... what's his nuts? David Hasselhoff.
No.
You know?
Just like he owns that weird little... He's made a career out of being David Hasselhoff.
8 former stars in desperate need of a comeback. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Sean William Scott is on this list.
There you go.
Taylor Lautner.
Oh, yeah. That guy's done.
What happened to him? He was in...
he was in all the Twilight movies and stuff.
Twilight.
He got caught up in that weird... and it's not even his fault, but he got caught up in that weird sex thing, like with the... was it Bryan Singer and all that? Like...
What?
Yeah, there was...
What does that mean?
He was... He was one of the, like, the young boys, I guess, that was... there was a reason why he was getting roles when he was younger. It was a big Hollywood scandal, and... Yeah, his name got associated with that. It's not even his fault. He was like an abused kid. And whether it's true or not, his name got attached to that, and he's just... That, and I don't think he's a very good actor, but yeah, that was... Hmm. Yeah, he hasn't... No one will touch him.
Brendan Fraser.
Yep. Yeah, The Mummy and then nothing.
Hmm. Yeah, I forgot about Brendan Fraser. What else we have? Jim Carrey. He's around.
Yeah, but he's made enough money. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, he doesn't.
That
need.
Guy's. Yeah, that guy's.
Oh, here's
so much,
a good one.
He's
so
Joe Biden now on SNL.
Yeah, he's playing Joe Biden. Tobey Maguire.
Oh.
Forgot about Tobey Maguire, didn't you?
Yeah.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, he's not Spider-Man anymore.
Cider House Rules.
Yeah, can't say I've seen anything from Tobey. I guess he's kind of a sketchy dude too.
Is he?
Yeah, he was one of those Hollywood poker players and all that. Yeah, he was in poker players. Like, he was in that, like, Leo DiCaprio and all that crew.
How sketchy can you really be when your name's Toby?
Yeah.
Yeah, he just seems like a innocent sort of dude.
I don't think that's
but
the case.
But he plays poker? That's the worst thing about him?
I think he, remember the Molly's Game? About the...
Yeah.
The skier and the...
Great movie.
That got into that. The main character, the real D in that movie, I guess that's Tobey Maguire.
Oh.
Yeah. At least that's the rumor.
Okay.
Is the main jerk character on that is based on Tobey Maguire.
Nick Cage.
Yeah. He's like and he blew through all his money. Like, he's in financial trouble.
And then the last two on the list are Cameron Diaz and Lindsay Lohan. But I think
quit. She just retired.
Yeah, she's done.
I think she just is married and just laying low.
Yeah, Lohan, I don't know what's going on.
I think she spent all her money up her nose.
Reality shows. All right, John wraps it up next on The Fan.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Sue.
We just stepped out of the shower. He'll be down in a minute.
All right, listen, you guys can't go... Did you just say we?
What?
Did you just say we just stepped out of the shower?
I said he.
Right, okay.
On 1080, The Fan.
Double Sun Power!
Hondo P.
Hey, Doc, do you think we have football season?
Every morning at the mine.
I love bourbon!
He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no...
Where's my wood, John? Where's my wood?
I'm sorry.
Big bad. Speaking of cocaine and staying up all the time, quick update on the baseball.
Nobody seemed to know where John...
We're at a critical juncture, Jace, because... Clayton Kershaw has gone 2 times through the order.
He was cruising, and everyone was like, man, on Twitter, they're like, oh, his slider's filthy tonight, and then sure enough, there goes the home run.
Yeah, that was Kevin Kiermaier hit a home run, but he was batting 8, so that was just the second time through. So yeah. So then he got Zunino to strike out. So now coming up in the 6th inning, when the Rays come up, that will begin.
Sit him down.
The 3rd time through the order, I guarantee you Kershaw comes back out. He's only thrown 69 pitches.
Sit him down. What was it? Is ERA through the 2 times through in the postseason's like 2.2?
2.92.
And what is it after the 3rd time and above?
8.14.
Sit his ass down. You got 5 innings out of him of 1 run ball. Go to your pen.
Hello, John.
What's up, gentlemen?
We're just yelling about
Dodgers
bullpen.
We just got into some hot sports talk and ignored you for a second. Sorry about that.
You know what? It's hot World Series talk, yeah. And there's not much I love more than hot World Series talk. I say sit him down, too. I wouldn't bring him out.
Yeah, I think they're going to bring him out, though. Are
I
you
think
watching?
They will. Yeah, oh, yeah, I love the World Series.
Good times.
Well, it might be my favorite of all the – I mean, the Super Bowl is the Super Bowl, but as far as just sporting, I love the World Series. I couldn't love it any more than I do.
Is it okay for me to say that Tyler Glasnow is overrated? Can I say that?
You can say that. Why do you think that?
I don't know. I just don't think he... Every time... They're always saying, like, he's, like, the real ace, and he He gives up like three, four runs every time, it feels like. I don't know. I mean, I know he's got electric stuff, but.
Well, you got.
He's all right.
Is he Snell,
I think Snell's better.
You got Snell and you got Morton. I mean,
Morton's better. But they talk about Glasnow like he's the king cheese.
I think Snell's overrated, if you want my opinion.
Yeah.
Apparently, yeah. The entire Rays team, according to this program, is overrated.
Not Morton. Morton's
every
money.
Single one.
Well, they do kind of take on. So they have this. This is, I don't know. Follow me here. The Rays are kind of. They're kind of the young, lovable, upstart Tampa Bay Rays. And I think the entire team is propped up more than they deserve. I mean, they're a good team for sure. Those players are good. But I think that, like, they want to like the Rays so much that all of the Rays are kind of propped up a little bit. Like, even Zunino. Like, Zunino was a darling of the ALCS. Zunino still hits 165. He can't hit.
Yeah,
He just hit four timely home runs, and everybody loves the guy.
Well, that's kind of the Rays. Like, Kiermaier sucks. He just hit a home run, though. Like, the Rays only either hit home runs or they strike out.
They said that that was his first home run against a left-handed pitcher all year.
Yeah.
Hadn't hit one.
And the Rays bullpen, I mean, I know they have a ton of guys that throw hard. Well, every bullpen now, except the Mariners, has a ton of guys that throw hard. So, like, what... I mean, I didn't watch any of the Rays bullpen during the playoffs so far and think that those guys were all that good. I mean, they throw hard, but everybody throws hard. But I think there's a whole, like, they're just being propped up a little bit. And I think that's just kind of the whole team right now.
Well, they are in the World Series.
Yeah, they did have the best record in the American League.
Yeah,
Oh, for 60 games.
Well, 60 games was enough to show us the Mariners sucked.
We knew that with zero games played. We didn't need 60. You needed 60 games to know that?
That is true.
Well, I'm just saying 60 games is enough to tell us. Well, Rays are pretty good, but I don't know. They may have met their match here with the Doyers.
Okay, let me say this. I'm assuming you guys are watching. Did you see Mookie Betts just stole a base?
I did, yeah.
So now we all get a taco?
Oh, is that what's happening? We don't have sound on.
I think the steal a base, get a taco is the stupidest promotion in any of the major sports.
What? I don't even know what you're talking about.
I guess if when someone steals a base in the World Series, then everyone gets a free taco at Taco Bell?
Yeah, and they've done this for like the last, I don't know, handful of years, 6 or 7 years, maybe more. But yeah, Taco Bell does this thing. As soon as somebody steals a base in the World Series, everybody on a certain day can go get a free taco. Okay, well, that's great. But like, stealing a base in the entire World Series, is there a more anticlimactic? Like, of course somebody will steal a base at some point during the World Series. It's the stupidest. Like, they act like it's a big deal. Somebody will steal a base. It's the fifth inning tonight. It just happened. I just think it's ridiculous.
Now, is it every time someone steals a base, or is it just once a night?
No, it's just one. It's not even a night. It's once during the entire World Series. If somebody steals a base, like 2 weeks from now, they'll have a day where you can go to Taco Bell like at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and get a free taco because Mookie Betts just stole a base.
Well, that's $1.19 in your pocket, John, if you want to get a taco.
Well, but at the same point, like, they act like it's some big, like, you get an entire free meal if somebody hits a grand slam. That'd be exciting. Sure. That doesn't happen all the time.
Well, I am intrigued by anyone. Look, my son works at Taco Bell, so I'm not here to disparage the Bell. But he works at Taco Bell, and I don't eat at Taco Bell. I can't tell the last time I ate at Taco Bell. No thanks. What fascinates me is that someone would be willing to go to Taco Bell simply to save $1.19 on a taco when you know that you're going to order other things at the Bell.
You're not saving money at all. You're spending at least $5.
And you're still being forced to eat Taco Bell, which I'm sure to some people is delicious, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Horrible. Now, I would like to believe out there there's somebody, probably a punk teenager, that will just drive around that day to as many Taco Bells as he can just to get free tacos over and over and over again.
My son and his girlfriend do this a lot. Like, when Arby's will run something or Wendy's, they will drive around to like 5 different ones, and each one they go in separately. They have come home before with like 3 bags worth of free fast food. They do this.
They spend $30 in gas to get $18 in Arby's.
I asked him about it, and he said it's more about just because of COVID. He said it's an adventure, and it's something to do.
All right, fella. We got to run.
All right, go World Series.
Love your big, sexy body. And nice work on that bit we played at the top of the show, the 52 Club. Great job by John there.
Oops, he's gone.
Yeah, no, I dumped him.
Oh.
I got rid of him. I can't have any more talking from him. We've got to go.
Yeah?
Shut up, John.
Are we going to go inside Ducks? What's happening?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go inside Ducks. Coming up next, we're back tomorrow, 3 to 7 on the Fan. Good night.
Red Ships of Spain. Red Ships of Spain.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.